Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Those words of our Lord that we consider on this Pentecost Sunday is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 37 to 47. Now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." That those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily in one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So far, our text. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, who promised to send us a helper, the Holy Spirit, to aid us in our faith life, our Christian fellowship, and our mission as Christians, witnesses, dear fellow redeemed. Looking back to the events of the first Pentecost Sunday in the early days of the church, is there anything about the work of the Holy Spirit that strikes you as being truly amazing? Are you at all filled with marvel at the supernatural way that the Holy Spirit came to the people that day on that first Pentecost Sunday? The wind that came out of heaven and made its way like a mighty rushing wind through the streets of the city to gather people around the apostles. How about the fire-like tongues suddenly appearing on the heads of believers that day? Or the extraordinary supernatural feat, linguistic feat of these disciples of Christ beginning to speak in languages that they had never learned before. Miraculous, supernatural acts would quite understandably cause us to be amazed and astounded because they're above and beyond the realm of ordinary, everyday occurrences. But then, since we have heard and learned about these over and over again from our childhood, perhaps that wonder that we once had as children is gone. Worn off. Looking over the other acts of the Holy Spirit recorded in our text, we find that they were of such a nature that we should never really cease to marvel at them. They're truly amazing because the Holy Spirit brought about a number of extraordinary changes as sinful man that we would naturally not expect to occur. First of all, the opening words of our text tells of the Apostle Peter concluding the Pentecost sermon meditation, and upon hearing of the apostles preaching in public about the crucified and risen Savior. What's truly amazing about it, well, some people say, well, it's not so amazing that there were so many people who were gathered together. Well, consider what happened with Peter what took place with him about a month and a half just prior to this. How Peter was in that courtyard where Jesus was standing trial. And Peter, being scared for his life, that he'd be numbered among one of Jesus' disciples and suffer the same fate as Jesus, three times Peter vehemently denied and disowned Jesus as if he was a part of his group of disciples. Fearing for his life, we don't hear him staying by Jesus' side until he died. Like he claimed, he said to Jesus, I'll never forsake you even if I have to die with you. And when Sunday came, Peter, along with the other disciples, were cowering behind locked doors for fear of the Jews, that they would come along and they would arrest them and cause them to suffer the same fate as their Lord, cause them to be crucified as well, put to death. What a complete change seen in Peter and the other disciples on Pentecost Sunday. Instead of denying Christ and running and hiding for his life, Peter could be found out in the public, out in the open, publicly and boldly confessing Christ. Were there any Jewish leaders in their midst? Leaders who were involved in having Jesus put to death? Perhaps, very likely. But Peter didn't show any signs of being afraid concerning what they could do to him. What caused this complete change with Peter? It wasn't a matter of Peter putting his mind to it or having a stiff upper lip. The risen Lord Jesus told his followers to wait in Jerusalem until he sent them his helper. And this helper wouldn't be none other than the Holy Spirit, who would not only remind them of his teachings, but he would also give them the spiritual courage to testify of him, even in the face of fierce threats of being put to death. Peter's courageous witnessing of Christ in the stronghold of Jesus' enemies was due to an amazing act of the Holy Spirit, giving them courage to speak out and testify of Christ. This amazing act of the Spirit extended beyond the apostles of Christ. Shortly after this, there was a persecution that broke out in Jerusalem, and Christians scattered in many different directions. What did they do when they settled in a new area? They shared the Christian faith with their neighbors. They weren't afraid of what they thought or would do to them. Do you ever have a timid or fearful spirit about talking to others about your Christian beliefs? So that you remain silent? Oh, you may not experience the fearful kind of persecution that the early church was faced with. Nevertheless, the Lord Jesus does not want us to hide our Christian light under a basket out of a sense of fear. Even as he promised and sent the Holy Spirit to help the apostles and the other early Christians in that day to overcome their fears of speaking out for Christ, so also he does the same for us. Even as he promised to send help to those early Christians, the Holy Spirit has been promised to be sent to us. The question is, are we drawing upon that divine source of help? Do we pray to the Holy Spirit that when God gives us the opportunity to share our faith, do we pray to the Spirit to give us courage and confidence to share our faith with others so that they learn about their Savior? The second amazing act of the Spirit in our text is a kind of response that Peter's sermon received, especially when we consider the audience. In the large crowd gathered to listen to Peter were Jews, who out of their mouths just a short time ago, month and a half before this, they were crying out for Jesus to be put to death. Peter drew attention to this when he said in his sermon to them, him, Jesus Christ, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Even though those Jews had not personally been involved in taking the nails and the hammer and driving the nails into Jesus' hands and in his feet, they also share the responsibility because they pressured Pontius Pilate to crucify Jesus. Now we find these same people who had cried out for Jesus to be put to death, being stricken with a guilty conscience and crying out for mercy with a sorrowful spirit for having put to death the Lord of glory. And then we hear of them receiving Jesus in faith as their Lord and Savior from sin and being baptized in the name of Jesus and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what is really an amazing turnaround is from, first of all, crying out for Jesus' blood to them putting their faith and trust in Jesus' shed blood for them for the forgiveness of their blood guiltiness. If you would have been alive that day, would you have expected this kind of change of heart in people who had cried out for Jesus to be put to death? Are you acquainted with individuals who are so worldly and so godless that you've given up hope that they would be willing to listen about their Savior? Or maybe someone who has turned away in unbelief and have given themselves over to the worldly ways, would you expect them to be willing to listen to you? Never give up hope, for consider the amazing act of the Spirit in turning around the hearts of so many unbelieving Jews on Pentecost Sunday. 3,000 souls were brought to faith that day. How did the Holy Spirit accomplish this amazing act? It wasn't due to the Apostle Peter having a charismatic and a charming personality. Nor was it due to him being able to speak in a very eloquent way. No. If you carefully look over Peter's sermon recorded in the Bible, you'll find the hymn proclaiming God's word in a clear, simple, and straightforward manner, as he lovingly exposed sin in the hearts of the hearers, of their guilt, and gave testimony of Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's it. Clear, simple message of law and gospel. In response to their plea for mercy and salvation, Peter simply said, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." The Holy Spirit, working through the clear and simple word of God, turned the hearts of these people around so that many were brought to faith that day. The Spirit convicted, convinced, and converted their hearts. We don't convert anybody. We just simply share the simple truths of God. We also find reference to the Holy Spirit using baptism an amazing way of bringing little babies to faith. Truly remarkable. Remember, Peter said that This promise is not only for the adults of receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and forgiveness and eternal salvation, is also for your children, your little children. So amazingly, the Holy Spirit works through baptism to give them faith to believe in Jesus. Little babies. This basic means by which the Holy Spirit caused his amazing work to come about to convert so many people on that day never should be lost on us. Otherwise, we could very easily be caught up trying to gain or to regain souls for God's kingdom through popular use of man-made programs and gimmicks and superficial trappings. What does Paul say? The power is found in the gospel. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So another amazing act of the Spirit is the religious unity which he blessed the first Christian congregation in Jerusalem with. We find this in verses 42 and 46 of our text, where it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer, so continuing daily with one accord in agreement in the temple. In breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God." As those early Christians joined in various acts of Christian fellowship, like singing hymns, offering up prayers, celebrating the Lord's Supper, they did so with a oneness of mind and heart. They were agreed on the teachings of Christ. They shared a common confession of faith. They were in complete agreement, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. To hear this may not sound so amazing or so astounding to us. If we've grown up in our Christian fellowship, we learned and had this from early on. The Christians were agreed on the teachings of Christ, and on that basis they worshiped together, prayed together. Some would say it's impossible. It's impossible for Christians to be completely agreed in the teachings of Christ. And there are people who say that's not necessary. That's not important that we be agreed in the teachings of Christ. Have a common confession. It's impossible. The Holy Spirit makes it possible. He gives us understanding and knowledge and faith and a common confession. God opens our eyes to see, our minds to understand, our hearts to believe, and our mouths to confess the one wonderful truth of God's Word found in the Bible. And the final feature of our text that draws our attention to the amazing acts of the Holy Spirit is a Christian spirit of mutual love and generous acts of fellow Christians. Charity. Verses 44 and 45, we read of this. "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need." What an amazing act of Christian community. The members of the Christian congregation in Jerusalem had such a loving concern for their fellow Christians. If they saw that there were some Christians that were in need, they helped them. And if they didn't have money in the bank, they went and sold some of their property so they had something to share with those who were in need. This is what we call sacrificial giving. When you consider our natural tendency of being selfish and self-serving, it's truly amazing to hear of such a display of Christian love and charity. This kind of spirit can only be possible by working of the Holy Spirit through the gospel of Christ. In and through the message of the good news, the Spirit of God changes our cold and selfish hearts into loving, generous, self-giving hearts as we keep before our eyes the ultimate act of love and self-giving found in our Savior Jesus. The Lord of glory, he became poor so that we could become spiritually and eternally rich. Jesus gave up his throne on high and came to this earth and became the lowest servant of all mankind, all sinful people. He who is the God over all, who commands us to obey him, Jesus put himself under his own commandments, and he willingly kept them all for us to be our righteousness. And Jesus, who will come in the last day to judge the world, Jesus allowed himself to be brought under the Heavenly Father's hellish judgment and punishment so that we could be declared not guilty, forgiven, eternally saved. This is the powerful message that the Holy Spirit uses to change our selfish, self-serving hearts into selfless, self-giving hearts that lovingly and generously help those in need, especially those of the Christian fellowship. What an amazing act of the Holy Spirit this is. Thank God the Holy Spirit for such amazing acts that he carries out in our midst. May we never cease to marvel at them. And may the Spirit of God continue those amazing acts among us for Jesus' sake. Amen.